Beatitudes tell us how we may enter God's kingdom, how we may enlarge it, and how we may enjoy it. So the pivotal question is this: do we belong to this kingdom?
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
I think in biblical study there's a general rule that is wise to follow. The general rule is that you must start with the whole before you can begin to pay attention to the parts. And so it is our purpose to give an overview of the Beatitudes and some basic introductory ideas. First of all, may I share with you for a moment the centrality of this teaching? And I think that the centrality of this teaching, the centrality of the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, is seen in two basic things. One, it's seen in the general consensus of Christendom. And two, it's seen in the grammar of Matthew chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2 and what Matthew says there very precisely. For most people, the Sermon on the Mount is the essence of the Christian faith and life. And I would have to say quite honestly, it is for me as a pastor. I, for one, believe that it is wrong to build our dispensational walls so high that we eliminate this instruction from this age and relegate it to some future era or the era of the coming kingdom. We're already in the kingdom. In one sense, I believe in a literal, physical kingdom. But there is a sense in which I'm already in the kingdom, judicially. When I was born again, I became a member of God's kingdom. In fact, the Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I was delivered from one kingdom and translated into another kingdom. I was set free from the dominion of darkness, the power of Satan, and I was translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. I'm already judicially. The kingdom is not here practically. It's coming when Christ comes. When the King comes, the kingdom will come. But judicially, I'm in the kingdom. And that means I ought to behave like a kingdom constituent. And I think that that's what Jesus is laying out for us here in the Sermon on the Mount. Now let's go a step further. Let's talk secondly in this introductory message about the concept of a blessing. Jesus keeps using this term in the Beatitudes. If you have your Bibles open there, you can see it. In announcing his manifesto, the distillation of his way of life, it is appropriate that Jesus should begin with its keynote. Blessed. What does it mean to be blessed? It's a beautiful word, blessed. You know, this is a critical question for our day and age. Happiness is the great question confronting our modern world. The whole world is longing for happiness. But how to find that happiness is the question which they cannot answer. And it's tragic to observe the ways in which people are seeking out happiness. The spirit of our age is sorrow and despair. The spirit of our age is cynicism and pessimism. I see it sometimes in Christian circles, but beyond that, it permeates the secular world. Where does it come from? It comes from looking for happiness in the wrong places. Jesus is saying to our world and to each of us, I have an alternative for you. I will make you happy. I will give you blessedness. I will give you meaning. Come to me. Trust me. Embrace my principles. Live by them in the power of the Holy Spirit. And oh, the blessedness of people who do that. Now I've got to go a step further. Let me share with you quickly the characteristics of this instruction. And I would say there are several general propositions, and I borrow these. But I think they're universally agreed upon. Here they are. Number one, all Christians are to be like this. This is not instruction for a special set of super saints. All Christians are called to be saints, Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. And that means that all Christians are called to live by the principles and the Beatitudes, to conform to these standards and to rise to this level of Christian living. And God's Spirit can help us to do it. All Christians are to be like this. Number two, all Christians are meant to manifest all of these qualities. We're not to pick and choose. I'll be like this, but I won't be like this. I'll be merciful, but not pure in heart. All Christians are meant to manifest all of these qualities. Do you know why? These qualities are a composite portrait of Jesus Christ. And we're to become like him, not in part, but in the whole. Number three, none of these descriptions refer to what we might call a natural tendency. Each of them is wholly a disposition which is produced in us by God's grace and by the operation of the Holy Spirit upon us. That means that no natural man can ever experience them, no carnal Christian can ever enjoy them, but those who are willing to submit to the Lordship of Christ and depend upon the fullness of the indwelling Holy Spirit, every one of us can become like this progressively. Number four, these dispositions indicate clearly the essential and utter difference between the Christian and the non-Christian. These dispositions indicate clearly the essential and utter difference between the Christian and the non-Christian. The great curse of modern Christendom and of neo-evangelical influence is that it has sought to convince us that we can be a Christian and not be different. That's unbiblical. It's wrong. We are a different people. Finally, this instruction by Jesus demonstrates conclusively that the Christian and the non-Christian belong to two entirely different realms. We belong to the kingdom of God. These principles are so startlingly different from the world's standards, and that is so because the Christian does not belong to the world's kingdom. We belong to the kingdom of God. Now I want to give you one final point, and our introduction will be finished. And then one by one, we'll look at the Beatitudes. I want to give you a concentration of the Beatitudes. What are the Beatitudes saying to us? In the Beatitudes, we are told three things about God's kingdom. One, we are told how to enter God's kingdom. Two, we are told how to enlarge God's kingdom. And three, we are told how to enjoy God's kingdom. We are told how to enter God's kingdom. I enter God's kingdom, number one, by admitting my spiritual bankruptcy. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I enter God's kingdom, number two, by sorrowing over my sin. Blessed are they that mourn. I enter God's kingdom, number three, by submitting to the authority of God. Blessed are the meek, those who submit to God's authority. I enter God's kingdom, number four, by languishing for the food that alone can satisfy. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. When I have admitted my spiritual bankruptcy and mourned over my sin and decided to submit to the authority of God and languished for that righteousness which only He can give to me, when by faith I receive His Son as my Savior, He imparts that righteousness to me, and I enter God's kingdom. Then the Beatitudes tell me how to enlarge God's kingdom. Once I have become the recipient of Christ's righteousness, the character of God begins to emerge from my lifestyle. That means that I will be merciful instead of condemning and bitter. Blessed are the merciful. That means that I will be pure instead of sensual and perverted. Blessed are the pure in heart. That means that I will be a peacemaker instead of a troublemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. That means that I will be loyal instead of fickle. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. I'm so loyal to Christ and His principles that I'm willing to lay down my very life for it. You know, when those character qualities begin to emerge in my life as a follower of Jesus Christ, there will be a moral magnetism to them. People will be drawn to my Savior. They will want to know, how is it that you can behave in this way? This mercy, this purity, this peacefulness, this loyalty to the point of death, from whence cometh these powers? And we can enlarge the kingdom as we point them to the King. And then we're taught in the Beatitudes how we can enjoy the kingdom. We're given all these promises. Theirs is the kingdom of God. All these things we enjoy from God. Theirs, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. There's the promise. Theirs is the kingdom of God. They reign in life. They have authority over sin and Satan. They shall be comforted, that is, encouraged and fit for the battle. They shall inherit the earth, that is, they'll have provision for every need. They shall be filled, satisfaction and contentment of the truest kind. They shall obtain mercy, cleansing from our sins and power for our ministry. They shall see God, spiritual vision and insight. They shall be called the children of God, visible evidence of God-likeness. Those are the promises. Those are the things we enjoy when we embrace this way of life. The Beatitudes tell us how we may enter God's kingdom, how we may enlarge it, and how we may enjoy it. So the pivotal question is this: do we belong to this kingdom? Are we ruled by Jesus Christ? Is he really our King and our Lord? Are we manifesting these qualities in our daily lives? Is it our ambition to do so? For a moment, we've looked at a general description of those who are the blessed of God. And looking at that description, what do we find ourselves to be? Are we truly happy? Have we been filled with his righteousness? Have we got peace? Have we exuded mercy? Do we have that kind of loyalty that prompts us to lay down our very lives for Christ? Do you know that my immediate reaction to these Beatitudes proclaims exactly what I am? My immediate reaction to these Beatitudes proclaims exactly what I am. If I feel they are harsh and hard, portraying a type of life which I dislike, if I do not want to be like this, do you know what I'm really saying? I am saying I am not a Christian. I am saying that I am still dead in trespasses and sins. I am saying that I have not yet received that new, wonderful, blessed, and blissful life that only Jesus Christ can give. I need to be saved, if that's your need. Our hearts are going out to you. We invite you to be saved. Or at the very least, if we respond negatively to these guidelines, at the very least, it means, if I am saved, it means that I'm an extremely carnal Christian, that I am following Jesus, but I am following Jesus afar off, not remembering and not applying all that it means to be a Christian. Do you see the centrality of this teaching? Do you see the concept of a blessing? Jesus gives us an alternative, not just an echo. Do you see the characteristics of this instruction? Can you appreciate the concentration of the Beatitudes? It tells us how to enter, enlarge, and enjoy the kingdom. I wonder if in some of these remarks there isn't a message for you.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
All of my prideful notions about the foundations upon which my successful life is going to be constructed must come tumbling down.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively. helping you to live an authentic Christian life.